The Lord be with you.
With your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Mark. The Spirit led Jesus out into the desert, and he remained there for 40 days, tempted by Satan. He was among wild beasts, and the angels ministered to him. After John had been arrested, Jesus came to Galilee, proclaiming the gospel of God. This is the time of fulfillment. The kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe in the gospel. The gospel of the Lord. It's a strange narrative in the life of Jesus that he must be led by the Spirit into the desert in order to be tempted. Probably more accurate translation would be to be tested. So let me look at this for a few moments and see how this speaks to us where we find ourselves today. Clearly, this event happens in the second half of life for Jesus. In the time of Jesus, if you read statistics, they will tell you the life expectancy was 40, 30, or 40. But that's somewhat skewed because infant mortality was very, very prevalent. And therefore, the median age, the life expectancy of an adult person in the time of Jesus would have been something around 50, maybe 60 years old. So Jesus, around the year 30, when he was about 30 years old, begins his public life, which is to say he's entering into the second half of life. Now that's important to keep in mind when you begin to give context to the scriptures which we have today. They find a parallel in Matthew and in Luke. John's gospel doesn't mention the testing of Jesus. It wouldn't fit the Johannine Jesus. But Matthew and Luke do, and both of them give details, much more detail than Mark, about the temptations, what the temptations were, and how Jesus responded to them. The desert is not the forbidding Sahara Desert. It's a wilderness. The Greek word eremos means a wilderness. Jesus enters into a wilderness led by the Spirit. The wild animals are there. He is alone. And it says, interestingly, angels came and ministered to him. There's only one other place you'll find a reference to the angel coming to strengthen Jesus. And that's in the 22nd chapter of the Gospel of Luke, in the Garden of Gethsemane, when Jesus goes through the great trauma of the agony in the garden. It said an angel came to strengthen him. The only two references to angels coming to Jesus. If you read Matthew and Luke, they will tell you more detail about the testing of Jesus. There are three temptations, three testings. One is, turn these stones into bread. And Jesus says, not by bread alone does man live, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God. And the second temptation or testing is, he's taken to the pinnacle of the temple and throw yourself off, for the angels will carry you and no harm will come to you. And Jesus says, do not test the Lord. Do not tempt the Lord. And the third one is, he's taken onto a high mountain and shown all the kingdoms of the world. And he's told, all these kingdoms will be yours if you bow down before the power of evil. And Jesus' response is, you must worship the Lord God and him alone. These three temptations. And they're detailed there in Matthew and in Luke. Now that's what it means when you read the context of the scriptures. When you bring it into the present age and say, what does this mean to us? We live in an information age, not an age of wisdom, an age of information. We're inundated with information. We're globally connected with instant news and instant information. We're overwhelmed with information, so much so that while we're blessed with a world of technology, we're also burdened. And we have the poverty of conflict. We have the poverty of confusion, the poverty of chaos. We have the poverty of violence. Witness the tragedy in Florida this past week. And I know we've had mental illness for a long time, not a new phenomenon. So why do we have the slaughter of today? Could it have something to do with guns? Mental illness has been there for a long time, but the ravishing, tragic poverty of violence in a manner we have not seen in our orderly society in past generations. So we have this sense of bankruptcy. We have the poverty of impatience. We're impatient. If that computer doesn't respond in 60 seconds, maybe 30 seconds, we need a new computer. You need to upgrade it. You need to power it off, power it on. We live in an impatient world. We have instant breakfast. We have instant everything, and we're more short of time than the generation that went before us. Time to belong, time to listen, time to forgive, time to heal, time to bless, time to uplift the poverty for the absence of time. Wisdom, not information, wisdom belongs to the second half of life. Wisdom belongs to those who are patient, those who walk and don't run, those who are open to some measure of silence. We live in a world of noise. Wisdom is given to the second half of life for those who have searched, for those who have doubted, those who have suffered. It's given to those who have failed, and only to those who have faced the shadow, the true interior person. The person who has failed, searched, doubted, wondered. The person who has struggled, walked through darkness, and faced the real self. That's the person who becomes wise. So how does this speak to us? In Dante's Divine Comedy, which he shaped in the year 1300, he was 35 years old, he was midlife, and he was going through a transition of midlife, and he shaped the Divine Comedy. And it begins with Dante in midlife entering a darkened forest, and he's lost, and he wonders, how did he get to the place where he is now, which is a place of being lost? He is fearful, he's confused, he's uncertain of where he's going. He's in midlife, searching for deeper understanding, a deeper meaning in his life. And he enters a darkened forest, and he sees the mountain of light, the mountain of hope, redemption. He sees it. And Virgil becomes his companion, the pre-Christian Roman poet, the one with high moral standards and a great vision. We'll read in the Poetics of Virgil. And he wants to climb the mountain of light, but he encounters three animals. The first is a leopard. Impedes his climbing the mountain of light. And the leopard represents pleasure, self-satisfaction, a demand for my way, self-serving. The leopard, this is the first impediment to climbing the mountain of freedom and the mountain of light. The second one is a lion. The lion impedes him. The symbol of pride, or the symbol of power, worldly power, impedes his journey up the mountain of light. The third one is a she-wolf. And Dante and the she-wolf is greed, deceit. Greed and deceit, the she-wolf. Fraud. This will impede his search for freedom and for meaning in his life. And the wise Virgil says, before you go up, you must go down first, down into a place of darkness. You must enter into the wilderness and go through the darkness before you can climb the mountain of light. And so, read on in Dante, and he goes down into the inferno, and he goes through the whole passage of life to enter into the freedom and the wisdom of the second half of life. He must go through the experience of wilderness. Without that, he's going to live in a world of fantasy, an unreal world. He won't know himself. He hasn't faced the shadow, the true self. And Jesus went into the desert for 40 days, somewhat reminiscent of the people of Israel 40 years in the desert, searching for the true homeland. And now we come to Lent, to enter into an experience of wilderness for 40 days. Now, Lent is not an obstacle course. It's not something in which we will achieve and conquer some sacrifice we'll make and tell everybody about it. And after we have made the sacrifice, we'll be miserable, so you will know I'm making a sacrifice. Lent is a time to enter into an experience of wilderness, some deep, deep search of my true self, to encounter the three animals, part of my life, to look at my need to be satisfied, to be always pampered in life, to get my own way, to look at my pride and my search for power, for control, to be transformed from the she-wolf, from greed and deceit, to look back and search my life and find, of course, I have encountered the wolf. Of course, I was caught in greed, maybe in deceit, maybe even in fraud, where I gave the impression that I was a person that was unreal. I wasn't the real person. I lived the mask. So Lent is a time for transformation. It's a time for searching. It's a time to enter into the wilderness, an experience of being alone, being quiet, being silent, to rediscover my true self, myself in need of redemption, myself in need of forgiveness, not the one who judges others, who excludes others, not a church that excludes people. We have to go through in a church an experience of wilderness to encounter in the church the three impediments to a place of light and a place of freedom and a place of true encounter with God. This is Lent. That's why this reading is in here at the beginning of Lent, to say, be sure that your journey of Lent is a spiritual quest. It's a search to discover the real person, who I am, and to discover who God is in my life. Amen.